Help by Dave Baldwin.
I went downstairs, almost falling in my hurry to get to my wife in the sitting room. She stood by the French windows, standing, looking towards the partly open curtains, standing as if rooted to the spot, her hands raised to her face. When she turned towards me, her white face held a look of pure terror.
It was there, just standing there, watching us. Oh, God, it's evil. Pure evil. We have to leave. We have to go now. It's here. It's come for us now.
Come on. Calm down. Sit down here.
It was there. It made that scratching noise again. That noise at the windows. So I opened the curtains and it... Oh, my God, it was horrible.
Calm down. Nothing's going to harm you. You probably imagined something.
It was there. I didn't imagine anything. It was there. Just like the last time. Oh, we can't stay here. We've got to get away.
All right. Now calm down and we'll talk about it. Just sit down. Let me get you a scotch. You're shaking like a leaf.
I don't want to drink. He's out there. How can you just sit there and drink when he's out there?
So what do you want me to do? You want me to go out and find him? 10 o'clock at night, in the pitch dark, and pouring with rain. You want me to go out and find him? Could be a mile away by now. And you really think that it would be a good plan to go out now and interview anyone within a mile of the house, eh? Sit down. I'll get you a drink, eh? I could do with one myself. Here, drink this. Calm your nerves.
What is it?
It's your favourite southern comfort.
Oh, thank you. I am not imagining this, you know.
No, I know you're not.
But you seem to think that I'm just being hysterical, but just a steady hysterical woman.
I'm sure that you heard and saw something. And when he was out there in the dark, immediately outside the window, it must have been pretty frightening. No idea what it could have been, but our chances of discovering that tonight are decidedly slim, so... Let's just get to bed and think about it again tomorrow morning. And that is what we did. A cup of cocoa and an early night. Strangely, Janet seemed to sleep like a baby. I was the restless one. I saw 2 a.m. come and go before getting a wink of sleep. Having something of an analytical mind, I tend to tackle most problems on a logical basis, but this recurring apparition, if that's what it was, defied logic completely. Who or what was it? Why was it coming to us? What did it hope to achieve? If its whole purpose was to frighten us, it could now rest. Mission accomplished. Yeah, the alarm clock was an unwelcome sound at 7:30. For a short while, I was mentally preparing for another day at the office. Then when it dawned upon me that it was Saturday, I was tempted to go back to bed, but I resisted the temptation in favour of going quietly downstairs and then waking Janet with a cup of tea. Morning, sleepyhead. Nice cup of tea.
Oh, thank you, love. Oh, for what do I owe this pleasure? It isn't my birthday.
Yeah, I was up early. Forgot that it was Saturday. There you are. An honest man. I could have claimed all sorts of things.
Like what?
Oh, I don't know. Could have said that I've been lying awake half the night thinking about what a lucky man I am to be married to someone as lovely as you.
So why didn't you?
Yeah, well, I wanted to tell you something that you didn't already know.
Creep.
Oh, charming. Look, I've been thinking about what happened last night. The answer's really very simple. We just keep the side gate locked at night. I don't know why we don't do that anyway. I mean, just as a matter of security. With the side gate locked, the only way anyone can gain access to the back garden is by scaling a 7-foot brick wall.
Yeah, well, yes, let's do that. But it doesn't help us to discover who that was last night.
Yeah, agreed. But it was probably kids messing about.
Oh, no, I don't know who it was or what it was, but I know it wasn't kids. What I saw, and remember that this is the second time it's happened, what I saw was an adult, a grown man.
Okay, but yeah, whatever it was, we can stop it happening again simply by bolting the side door. And that is what we did. That morning I bought a very heavy door bolt from the local ironmonger and fixed it to the inside of the side gate. Now that gate is the only access point to the rear garden. So if we get a problem in the future, well, no, it must be from an incredibly agile monkey. That was on a Saturday morning. I thought that whilst we haven't solved the mystery, we had perhaps prevented a recurrence. And indeed, that seemed to be the case. I wouldn't say that we'd forgotten all about it, but certainly it was no longer at the forefront of our minds. It was spring. The evenings were getting lighter and the gardens were getting greener. There always seemed to be so much to do in the garden. Lawns to cut, roses to prune, paths and patio to clean. Yes, it seemed the most unlikely backdrop for anything sinister. On the following Wednesday evening, we had a strange telephone call. It was about 7:30, just after we'd finished dinner. I answered the phone to a man who asked to speak to Miss Thompson. I explained that there was no one of that name living here, and the caller explained that this was the lady's maiden name, and she may now have married. Well, Janet's maiden name was indeed Thompson, so I asked him what the call was about, whereupon he said, "It's Janet Thompson, isn't it?" "Well, yes," I said, and he immediately hung up. Our phone displays the calling telephone number, and this call was shown against a Birmingham exchange. I called the number and spoke briefly to a very rummy lady called Jenny Thompson, who assured me that they'd made no call that evening. A spoofed telephone number. All very odd and a little disconcerting. Yeah, I told Janet that it was a call from my boss. It was the following Wednesday when Janet, having visited an ex-colleague from her previous employment, spoke of the tragic death of her first boyfriend. I'd never met the guy. In fact, I could only vaguely recall his name. But Janet had spoken of him briefly when we first met. He sounded like a small-time crook. And Janet had given him the push when he stole money from her handbag. A couple of weeks ago, he'd apparently jumped from the 10th floor of a block of flats in Framley, just 4 or 5 miles south of here. Janet was saddened by his death. She felt some sense of guilt.
I feel responsible for what happened.
Oh, don't be daft. You haven't seen him for years.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. If I'd stayed with him, instead of just dropping him like that, things could have turned out very differently.
Yeah, they probably would. You may have been the one jumping from the flats. Look, you can't live your life on a what-if basis. You made a very sensible decision at the time. You decided that you didn't wish to share your life with a thief. Anything that happens after that is not your responsibility. If you want to blame someone, blame the thief. Anyway, if you hadn't dropped him, you wouldn't have found me.
Found you? I didn't find you. You make me sound like someone who rescues lost dogs.
Yeah, that's me. A big old flea-bitten mongrel. Yeah, but very affectionate and fiercely loyal.
Fool. Oh, I am sad about it, though. I'm sad and feeling guilty because he asked for help and I turned my back on him.
Come on. You haven't seen him for 15 years. If he was going to ask for your help, he would have contacted you.
He did.
Huh? What are you talking about? You telling me now that he's been in touch with you?
Yes. The face at the window, it was Vince.
Oh, now, come on. They were just someone messing about.
It was Vince.
Look, if it was him, why were you so scared? And why didn't you say it was him at the time?
I was scared. Petrified. The face of a soul in torment. It was Vince.
Oh, why didn't you tell me it was him?
Well, whatever his problem was, that would only have added to it. I can just see you going to the police or something.
Too true, I would. Bloody liberty. I've got a problem, so I'll just nip over to a friend's house and scare the living daylights out of them.
Well... Yeah. Well, we don't have to worry about him anymore, do we?
Look, Mama, I'm sorry your friend died. I'm just a bit angry that he scared you. You mustn't feel responsible. It was all a long time ago.
Yes.
I suppose it's only natural to feel some sense of responsibility towards people with whom you've had a close relationship, but Janet is one of those people who are prepared to shoulder the troubles of the world. No one's more willing than Janet to care for a lame dog, and this guy Vince certainly seems to qualify. Was he worth her care? Well, we'll never know now, will we? I just hoped that she could quickly forget the man and the face at the window. Spring turned to summer and banished the dark mood that had threatened to undermine our relationship. It was one of those rare summers that's in full bloom in early May and seems to go on forever. Months of clear blue skies and warm sunshine. Old people were shaking their seaweed and warning that we'd pay for this. And young people were warning that the end of the world is nigh. But despite these threats of impending doom, everyone seemed to bathe in the warm joy of a long-lost English summer. Janet and I had raided the piggy bank and found sufficient funds to book a Mediterranean cruise. Hadn't had a real holiday for a couple of years, and we told ourselves that we deserved it. Life was good, and we were loving it. On the night before we were due to drive down to Southampton to board our cruise ship, I was upstairs in the study making sure that our passports were packed, when it all began again. I ran down the stairs to find Janet, standing, shaking, in the middle of the sitting room, her back towards the window and her hands to her face. I rushed past her to the window and threw the curtains fully open. Nothing. Nothing but the empty, moonlit garden. What was it, love? What did you see?
The window. A face at the window. In torment. Horrible.
Oh, come on, it is not with us anymore. It's someone playing tricks. Oh, is the side door bolted? Yeah, I'll go and see.
No, don't go. Please, don't go.
All right. I'll check tomorrow. Look, don't worry. It's probably kids.
No, it wasn't kids. It was a grown man.
But Janet, he's dead. He can't trouble us anymore.
It wasn't Vince.
Not Vince. So we now have some random stranger terrorising us.
No, it's not a stranger. I recognised him.
Who is it?
It's you.
George was played by Dave Baldwin and Janet by Margaret Baldwin. Production was by Dave Baldwin. The incidental music, Slow Motion, is from bensound.com.